Reading is Psalm chapter 1, if you would like to follow along with me in the pew Bibles. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives, and we pray that we would be open to your teaching. Father, turn over the rocks that have been settled in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, that work is uncomfortable. But you treat us as a father treats a son, and you love us. So you are constantly conforming us into your image. So we pray that as we think of and dwell on the first psalm, that we would be open to your lessons. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's see by a show of hands who are our dog people in here. Dog people. Okay, pretty good. Now let's see by a show of hands who, I don't want to say it, I'm scared of the response, are our cat people in here. I think, well, this is pretty close. Well, if Scott was here, I'd call for a motion and a vote and say we have to. So it almost looks like a tie, which saddens me a little bit because I'm a dog guy. I had a great cat growing up. We had several cats. But I had one in particular that was, even if you didn't enjoy cats, he was the cat for you. He would just bring something dead to the door every day. He was awesome. He was like the man's of cat. So I found this diary online, The Diary of a Dog, 7 a.m. Oh boy, a walk. It's my favorite. 8 a.m. Oh boy, food. My favorite. Oh boy, the kids, 10 o'clock, my favorite. 2 p.m., oh boy, a car ride, my favorite. 6 p.m., oh boy, mom and dad are home, my favorite. 9 p.m., oh boy, tummy rubs, my favorite. And then I came across the true story of a cat's diary. Day 183. Of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with these bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while I am forced to eat dry cereal. The only thing that keeps me going is the hope of escape. Today, my attempt to kill my captors by weaving around their feet while they were walking almost succeeded. Once again, I induced myself to vomit on their favorite chair. Next time, I'll try this on their bed. There was some sort of gathering. I was placed in solitary confinement. I heard them speaking of allergies. I must learn what this is and use it against them. The bird, on the other hand, he has got to be an informant. He speaks with them on a regular basis, and I'm certain he reports my every move. Due to his current placement in the metal room, his safety is assured. But I can wait, because it's only a matter of time. Cats and dogs, we love them. They're our pets, and they become like family to us. But they're both animals. But some have a preference for dogs and some have a preference for cats. It's like the world is almost divided into two groups. Cat people and dog people. In the first psalm, David does the same with people. He divides them into two categories. In verse 6, we learn very quickly who those two groups of people are. I like the way David is simple. He calls them the wicked and the righteous. In the first psalm, which is only 6 verses, compares and contrasts all people. And he does this very powerfully. And he starts in the first 3 verses by giving a series of no's, or things that the righteous abstain from. But the first word you will see, or the first few words, depending on your Bible translation, is the word blessed. How blessed is the man? Your version might even read, happy is the man. And both are right. Both are right. We meet all kind of people who want to be happy today. And it's like, well, here's the secret, I guess, right here in the first psalm. How blessed or how happy is the man who does not. Now notice that David starts with a no, a not, things to avoid, basically. And he gives 3 of them. Now before we get into what he actually advises, a lot of us, maybe in this room or even out there, people we know, we think of God as a big cosmic nana nana boo boo. Okay, a big guy in the clouds who just wants to point out all the wrongs. And people mistakenly think that God is full of thou shalt nots. But I want you to think about thou shalt not, or the series of no's, in a different way. Take an athlete in training, for example. If he's in training for a race, there are several things that he has to say no to in order to say yes to that race. So when he's preparing for a race, and it's 9 o'clock at night, and he walks over to the refrigerator, and he says, oh, look at that gallon of Breyers chocolate ice cream. I'd like to eat the whole thing. He has to say no to the ice cream in order to be an effective runner. So even though we like to think of God as a cosmic killjoy, that's not always true. See, God is good. And just like a good father, he'll encourage you to abstain from some things, to say no to some things. But as we learned last week, there are some big rocks in our lives that we should be saying yes to, but we have to say no to a lot of things to say yes to the rocks, the big rocks. So let's explore this passage. The first thing we see is how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Let's start with the word walk. Seemingly insignificant. Pastor Anthony should not stand here and explain that to you all, because we all know what it means to walk. You did it when you walked into the church, when you walked into sat at the pew. But walk has a very significant meaning in the Bible. The question is not what does walk mean to us? The question is, what does walk mean to the original audience? In other words, when the people in the time of David picked this up and read it in Hebrew, what did that word mean to them? Walk means a lifestyle. Walk, in a literal sense, means to go along with, to move about. It refers to a continual mode or conduct. It's a way of summarizing someone's life. You and I do this. We know older saints that we look to, that are models. And in a way of summarizing their life, we may say, they walked with God. They were so godly. That's a way of summarizing their life. That means that they thought a lot about God. They went to church a lot. They prayed a lot. You could look at them and you can say, man, they bear a mark of being a strong Christian. And this is exactly what David is doing here. He says, the blessed do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. One of the interesting things about walk is it can be used to describe something good or something bad. Here, he's encouraging us not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. But many times throughout the Bible, it's used to describe something good or godly people. Here are some examples. If you go back to the beginning of Genesis, you'll read these words about Enoch. In Genesis 5:24, Enoch, remember, walked with God. You know nothing else about Enoch except that verse, except that little sentence. That was the way of the author summarizing Enoch's life. It would be like at a funeral, just standing up and going, this man Enoch walked with God. The end. We find it with Noah in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Listen to the scripture. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God faithfully. Again, it's a way of encapsulating someone's life. Micah 6:8. Many of you love this verse. You've memorized this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So the first thing we learn here is what this word walk means. The second thing we see is we're called not to walk with who? The counsel of the wicked. Think about counsel for a moment. It could mean advice, but it's embracing ideas that are unbiblical or evil. It's wicked counsel. No wonder TV programs, news are called programming. See, they understand something. They understand that what somebody thinks will ultimately lead to the way they live their life. We've heard it said, garbage in, garbage out. Last week, we talked to the graduates a little. And here's something I can promise you I tell all graduates. I tell them that when they start college, their very first day or first week, they're going to see lots of little groups. And those groups are going to be asking you to join their clubs. I tell them to find a Christian organization immediately. Find a Christian group immediately and plug in. And I can tell you with full confidence that the youth that have taken that advice have grown in their Christian faith. And why is that? Because if they don't find a way to plug into a Christian group, pretty soon they're going to be taking the advice and counsel of the wicked. And it's not going to take long. Right, Austin? That's my man. Think about Romans 12:2. This is the New Century Version. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. A lot of us walk around and we're always asking, what's God's will for my life? I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. That's just an indicator that you're not in God's word. Listen, do not be shaped by this world, but instead be changed by the renewing of your mind. Then, see, something has to happen first before you can decide God's will, and that is filling your mind and heart with God's word. Then the Bible says you will be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and pleasing to Him. I like to think about it like this. Pretend you never knew your grandfather. You've only heard some stories about him. And one day you're up in your grandmother's house and you make it up to the attic. And you're going through old boxes. And you stumble across a box. And in this box are letters upon letters that your grandfather sent your grandma while he was away at war. And so you've only heard stories about your grandpa. But then you open up one letter, and the one letter reads about the tough battle he had that day. Then you open up another letter, and you hear about the fun and games that the guys at war are playing at night. Then you open up another letter, and he's pouring out his heart and soul to your grandmother. And you read letter after letter after letter. What's going on? You're not going to get any closer to his heart than when you're reading those stories. Those are the things that went through his mind and through his heart, and he put down on paper, and he sent them overseas back to your grandma. If you want to know his heart, read the letters. If you want to know his will, read the book. That's just how it works. You have to renew your mind first through the word, and then you'll know his will. Think about it like this. Every time you read the Bible, and this is a really cool thought, you're not reading your own thoughts. You're reading God's. So you're filling your mind with his thought, with God's thoughts. And that's amazing. So the more you can fill your mind with God's thoughts, the more you'll be able to discern what his will is for your life. The problem is, we don't spend a lot of time in God's word. So we have a lot of confused Christians. And when you have confused Christians, a lot of times you're seeking counsel. You're just not seeking it from the right people. That's why David says, the blessed man is one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's step one. Before we go to the next thing, here's something that I know is true. Your thoughts equal your actions. And your actions equal your habits. And your habits equal your destiny. Friends, that's just the way it works. Your thoughts equal your actions. Your actions equal your habits. And your habits equal your destiny. That's why he's urging us not to take the counsel of the wicked. You need to find people who understand God's word, who love Jesus, and plug in to that group. When you're going through crisis, when you need counseling, whatever it is, that's step one. You find people that have the same values, same ethics, or they will lead you astray. He moves on. The blessed man is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor, number two, stand in the path of sinners. Stand in the path of sinners. This is about association. You know, step two is about, I see that group over there, and I've talked to these friends over here. Let me go talk with them and then retreat. But step two is a little different, isn't it? It says, stand in the path. This is about being settled. Now you're a little more comfortable in those groups. And David says that this person will not stand in the path of sinners. This is about associations. Who are you associated with? Who is your primary associations? Paul talks about something in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that I like to call spiritual gravity. Spiritual gravity. He says, friends, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. I call that spiritual gravity. Bad company corrupts good morals. So no matter what you're thinking at one point, if you're heading in to take the counsel of the wicked and to stand with the ungodly, it's spiritual gravity, friends. If you're here and you're hanging around folks that are here, guess what's going to happen? They'll pull you down. They will pull you down. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are. They'll pull you down over time. Now you say to me, Pastor Anthony, but that Jesus, he was always hanging around sinners. How can you stand here and say that? Here's why I can say that. Number one, you're not Jesus. Number two, when you read the Bible and see what Jesus was doing, he wasn't just hanging around sinners to hang around sinners. He wasn't slapping high fives with them and okaying the things they were doing. So we need to be very careful in our associations. Now, don't misread this. I'm not telling you to call your closest friends and tell them, you know, break up with them. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to use discretion and wisdom. Because this is how it works, friends. spiritual gravity. You'll get pulled down by the world and quick. Next thing you know, it'll go from, ready, their thoughts to my thoughts. The next move, next thing that the godly avoids is this. They do not sit with the scoffers. They do not sit in the seat of the scoffers. Now, I want you to notice the progression here, or should I call it regression? It starts with an occasional advice. It starts with then moving into standing in the path, and now look where the person is at. They're sitting. It went from their advice to, okay, to I am now giving that advice. I have now adopted their mindset. And that's scary. And this is exactly the way it works. It's all right here in the Bible. The word sit literally means to dwell. This is your dwelling place. In other words, you're comfortable. I'm comfortable. There is no us and them. There is no godly, ungodly. It's we share the same morals and values and outlook on life. I'm so comfortable sitting here and dwelling. But who are you dwelling with? The Bible says the scoffer. The scoffer is the cynic. This is the unteachable person. They have all the answers. They're not interested in anything that's righteous. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 1. I love Proverbs. And in verse 8, you hear a plea of a father. He says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." This is a big moment in the life of the child. You know, it's like he's getting sat, like, sit down, son. You're finally able to understand these things. Let's have a heart-to-heart. And dad's going to pour his heart out to you. Sit down. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Sounds enticing, doesn't it? Even though the words may sound archaic, this stuff goes on today. It's just, hey, join me in my sin. It'll be great if we do this together, right? And then his father says, my son, do not, ready for it? Walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Friends, God's word is so powerful and so clear. It starts with the casual walking and getting advice from others. Next thing you know, you're closer with their association, and then the final move is you have adopted their mindset. In fact, you're now giving that advice out. And how does this happen? Slow. That's usually how this happens. Slowly. In conclusion, I have one of these in the office. We know what this is. This is a church pictorial. All churches have them. And did you know church pictorials can be heartbreaking? There are some people in here that aren't out here. And the ones that are heartbreaking aren't the ones that found a new church. I'm glad they found a church. Good. But the ones that break your heart are the ones that used to dwell here and are no longer in here because they didn't listen to the counsel of the first psalm, and now they're in the world. That's the truly heartbreaking thing. And the best way to do that is to not walk in the counsel of the wicked or sit in the seat of the scoffer. or stand in the path of the sinner. Let's pray, but know that this is part one of Psalm 1. We'll see you next week. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this message, Lord. And we do pray for the folks that are here, Lord. First and foremost, the household of God, those who are called by your name, that we would take steps to surround ourselves with godly people, that we would take counsel from those that love you, Lord. And if those people are not in our life, oh, Father, we pray that we would search high and low for them and that you would provide them, because everything starts from there, the things that we take in our minds. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, our final hymn is